Well, good evening.
It is a blessing to always be back at Maranatha, our home church. This is our family, and we love you all. It's good to see some new faces, and good to see some familiar faces as well. And I tell you, the Lord sure is good, isn't he? All the time. And we consider ourselves very blessed of the Lord. I'll fill you in a little bit here. What the Lord's been doing in our lives. We've had a great furlough. As you all know, I did take that short trip back to Niger in December by myself, and the Lord confirmed to us that we can indeed go back. And that was a huge encouragement to us, just to know that the door is still open. Now, whether or not we'll remain in the same city we were in, the Lord is, I'm just praying that He will show that more clearly once we get there. As I was telling Dr. Scoble, it's a little difficult to make decisions from the States in that situation. But we are scheduled to go back in June, so be praying with us about how the Lord will lead and all of that. I tell you, tickets are not getting any cheaper these days. Brother Harper, you know, and others that perhaps fly from time to time, it's one of those things. But there's one flight we really, really like, and that is the one from Atlanta to Paris to Niger. That one at this time is a little expensive. The cheapest one we find is, I think we got about five stops. I think they take us Saudi Arabia and then back to down toward Europe and all over the place. I don't know. It's not a good situation, I'm here to tell you. And a flight airline that I've never heard of. So that's another concern, especially after you see a Malaysia Airlines situation on TV. Oh, my. So just pray with us about that, and we're going to finish up things here in the next few months. But it's good to be here. Boy, I think most of you have been able to come over to the Bible conference over at Ambassador. If you haven't been able to make it, try to make it to at least one of the meetings. The Lord has been blessing, and this morning and last night and the days before, and it's just going to get better. And I know it would be a real encouragement to you. Well, thank you for those special songs, too, Dr. Bill and Brother Fox. I appreciate that. And, boy, wouldn't it be great if the Lord came back tonight? May He catch us watching and looking. And, you know, that's just something that I would love, and I think we all would. And I just want to say, Brother Jed, if he does, you can have my Bible, okay, buddy? Brother Jensen, I'm going too. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 15. Appreciate Brother Stevens giving me the opportunity to preach tonight. Old Pastor Stevens is just dear to my heart. He was really my first pastor after I got saved in the Coast Guard, and then I was stationed in North Charleston. God led me to that church. It's just a miracle. I was just riding down the road. I was a brand new Christian, and just saw a sign right on the side of the road, Northside Baptist Church. I didn't know anything, the difference between an Independent Baptist, Southern Baptist, Free Will Baptist. I didn't have a clue. I just said, "Oh, they advertising their church. I'll go check it out." It's on a Wednesday night, just like tonight. And boy, as soon as I walked in the doors, boy, they welcomed me with open arms like they had known me all my life. And boy, that just brought me right in and just built a relationship there. I was actually biblically baptized at that church and discipled. And boy, I really appreciate Brother Stevens and his ministry during those years. They were really encouragement. Well, if you found your place there, Romans chapter 15, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 30. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. The Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we truly need you every moment of our lives. And Lord, as we gather around your word tonight, as Lord, we just are asking you to speak to us and help us and grow us and strengthen us that we might be better used for your glory. And Lord, I just pray you'd meet the needs of the hour. I pray you'd use me to be an encouragement to the saints here tonight. And Lord, that we would just rejoice in what you're doing. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the glory, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what we find here in the book of Romans is Paul writing to these saints in Rome. And what's interesting about this letter, as opposed to some of his other letters, he had yet been to this place. He had yet been to this city to actually see the work that was there, but he wanted to. Oh boy, did he ever want to get to Rome. You read through the book of Romans and you see it quite often, the wording Paul used, I am longing to see you. I want to get there and see your faces. You know, in verse 22, it talked about him being hindered. He says, for which cause I have been much hindered from coming to you. That's something that he had been wanting to do in verse 23. But now, having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. He had a great love for these believers here. Some of them he had never seen. We know that he did know some of them. As you read through chapter 16, he goes through the list, the salute so-and-so, greet so-and-so, those that he had ministered with and known and affected and actually had been part of their spirituality and their spiritual growth. And so we see here there is a sweet connection between these dear saints and the Apostle Paul, the missionary. You know, I think that when we look at the Word of God, especially in the letters of the Apostle Paul, I think we see a great example of the missionary and the local church together. I think we see a great example of how that works, of how personable it's supposed to be. Boy, you know, just think with me. We don't have time to look at all of them tonight, but you think about the book of Philippians, those believers there, the language Paul uses, how much he loved them, and how much they loved him, and other epistles as well. It was just a sweet, sweet relationship between the missionary Paul and the local churches there. And I think that is the example for all of us to follow. I think that's it was mentioned the other day in a message I heard about relationships. You know, there's always room for growth in relationships. I mean, for marriage, I mean, we're always working towards that to grow and mature in our marriage and our love for one another. We're growing in our love with the Lord and on and on. And you got these different relationships. Well, I believe that's something we can grow together in, the local church and the missionaries that are being sent out. If there's some things here that I believe that will be an encouragement to you, and as they come from the Word of God and they come from the Apostle Paul, tonight's message, I'm going to just simply entail partnering together in prayer. You know, because this thing of reaching the world for Christ is simply a partnership of the local church and the missionary. That's God's plan. That's what he chose to do to reach this world for Christ. He wants local churches planted all over the world. Now, I'm thankful for humanitarian aids. I'm thankful for even Christian hospitals and Christian schools that can be built around the world in different countries. I'm thankful for some of those things. But the fact of the matter is, God has chosen the local church to fulfill the Great Commission. And I believe that the Apostle Paul honored that, and so did these churches, and there was a sweet relationship there. Well, this partnering together prayer, I'm thankful that, hey, it's kind of like this. You can't do what you do or what you want to do without us, and we can't do what we want to do without you. We're a team. And thank God, that's God's plan. And I'm thankful to be together. I'm thankful to be partnered together with Maranatha Baptist Church. I'm thankful especially this is our home church. And other churches that have just been so kind and considerate to partner with us and to reach Niger with the gospel, because we indeed are your voice to the people of Niger. It's not just us, ladies and gentlemen, it's you too. And how we thank God for that. I only have 2 points tonight, so that should cut us short. And I'm sorry for those that have to hear me preach twice this week, but just bear with me, all right? We'll get through it. All right, number one, I want us to see simply Paul's plea in verse number 30. Paul's plea, he comes to the end of this letter. He's getting toward the end of his life, this third missionary journey here. Boy, has he seen a lot of things in his life in serving the Lord. Oh my, the stories that the Apostle Paul could tell. I mean, just the story we have recorded in the Word of God is just simply astounding and amazing. And can you imagine the stories we did not hear about? Wow. Well, I tell you what, Paul's writing to these believers and he's closing this letter as this letter has been filled with doctrine and teaching and encouragement. And now we're getting toward the end. He's asking for a partnership together in prayer. He says, number one, he says, "Now I beseech you." Now there's 4 characteristics of this plea. Number one, it's a passionate plea. That word beseech we hear the Apostle Paul use, it's the word exhort. It's almost, listen, I want your attention. It's not complacent. It's just not lackadaisical. It's not just, you know, hey guys, you know, before I head out, I got one more thing I wanted to mention to you. No, he's saying, church, could you listen up, please? I got some prayer requests to share with you. And it's a serious, it's a passionate plea. I beseech you, but it's also a persuasive plea. Look what he uses as his motive here to persuade these believers in Rome. He says, number one, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Hey, that's a good motive, isn't it, friend? Hey, can I ask you a question? What are you doing here tonight? Are you here to please your neighbor, your parent, your spouse, whatever it may be? Are we here, or do we do what we do to please the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's what he's saying here. Church, would you pray for me, not because of who I am or what I've done, but for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Boy, that's a good enough motive, isn't it? To do what we do. We want to do it to please the Savior. And he knew these believers here, and that's why he said it. Listen, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, let's do what we do for Jesus' sake. And that's what we see here. It's a persuasive. It's for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. But not only was that, did he mention the Lord Jesus, but secondly, listen to what he says. He says, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit. Now, he didn't say for the love for the Spirit. He said the love of the Spirit. Because you, in other words, because, believers, you have the Holy Spirit, you should naturally have that love that flows. And because I know you love me, and because I know you love Jesus, I believe you're going to pray for me. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. He says it's a persuasive plea. But thirdly, I see it's a plea of partnership, as I was mentioning before. Look what he says here. He says, after for the love of the Spirit, he says, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Now that word striving together, that word strive together is a beautiful word. It almost carries the idea, it's a very powerful word, it carries the idea of struggling together. And Paul was simply saying, church, would you struggle with me? I'm seeing all kinds of battles out here. I'm fighting the devil, I'm fighting my stinking flesh, I'm fighting the world. I want to come see you. I'm asking you, would you struggle with me? And I'm thankful that Paul just didn't say for me, because that is a challenge to me as a missionary. Again, back to the team principle, it's just as much my responsibility to pray for you as it is you for me. That's God's plan, and God help me when I get the day when I don't see the importance of praying for the local churches that send us. I'm going to be held accountable for that. And we want to be personally involved with this church, Maranatha, and other churches, but it is a key that we struggle together. That's why we do missionary prayer letters. We don't do it to decorate our walls. I hope that's not why churches do it. But no, missionaries write letters because you can see the struggles, the victories, and all the things that you could be praying about, rejoicing with, hey, struggling together. I really appreciate that I get information from Brother Hankey and Brother Thomas Engle letting us go how things are going. We appreciate that because we know better how to pray for Maranatha. Hey, I know this past year has been tough for our church. It certainly has. But we just need to continue struggling and striving together because God's at work. Don't think just because we don't have a permanent pastor at this time that God's still not on the throne. And God's still doing His work. And we need to, that's a perfect example of continuing to struggle together. Striving together in the prayers, Paul says. The burdens we see. Wrestling with God. In the sense, struggling for specific purpose. I like what Warren Wiersbe said in this passage about this verse. He said, this verse does not mean that we must fight necessarily with God to get what we need. Rather, it means our praying must not be a casual experience that has no heart or earnestness. We should put as much fervor into our praying as a wrestler does into his wrestling. A struggle. Oh, God. Whatever this person is going through, hey, that goes against the flesh, doesn't it? Absolutely it does. But Paul's saying here a plea of partnership, but not only that, but fourthly, as I mentioned already, it was a personal plea. He just didn't say, hey, church, pray for me. God help me. Sometimes I've been guilty of that. You know, always thinking about my needs and always thinking about la-da-da-da-da and not thinking about how I can be praying for the local church. But Paul said not only pray for me, but pray with me. Team effort. Thank God for that. But secondly, not only do we see Paul's plea, but number two, we see Paul's prayer request. They're pretty clear, very, very clear, that we see starting in verse 31. He gives three prayer requests here, and I'm going to elaborate a little bit on them. I'm going to add some things for application-wise. But number one, look there at his three prayer requests. Number one, we see a prayer to these saints here to be delivered. Look what Paul says. He says, I'm going to say pray because that's the context, okay? He says, pray that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. This prayer, first prayer request was a prayer to be delivered. That's a wonderful prayer request for the local church to be praying for the missionaries. A wonderful request. Paul said, listen, there's people there that want to take my head off, church. Pray as I go, and he's going to talk about taking that offering to the saints in Jerusalem. And boy, those Judaizers, those Pharisees, they despised Paul. They'd do anything they could to take him out. And he said, church, would you pray for me? That God would deliver me from that crowd. Look over there in your Bibles with me in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Paul said the same thing to these believers in Thessalonica. Same type of prayer request. Look at verse 2. We'll look at verse 1 a little later. I'm just going to read verse 2 now. Paul says he's asking them to pray, and pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. That was constantly on Paul's mind. He's telling his churches, you pray that I get delivered from these folks. They hate me. They hate what God is doing. They hate what Christ is doing. And friend, I want to encourage you tonight, put it on your prayer request, if it's not already there, your prayer list. Pray for your missionaries to be delivered from ungodly and unreasonable men. The attacks of Satan and things. Hey, when that bomb went off at 5 a.m. on May 23rd there in our city, and we found out it was Al-Qaeda, hey, I want to tell you, I couldn't help but think, oh, God, I sure hope folks are praying for us. And you may say, Brother Bridges, were you praying? You better believe I'm praying. God, help us get out of this mess. I don't know what's going to happen, but Lord protected us all through that and got us out of that. And I believe with all my heart there's churches praying especially as we sent out the request of a specific need that we had. Prayers were going up. A prayer to be delivered from wicked men that want to destroy the cause and the message of Christ. That's something you can pray. So one of our missionary families, you may have already heard this, but the Raines family in Kenya, you remember several months back, you know, when that massacre happened in that mall, and I get their prayer letters through my email, and man, just a few days before that massacre, they were in the same mall, I believe. I mean, that, hey, I can't help, but maybe there were some saints of God back here in the States praying that God would deliver them from any of that mess. It's so important. I got a call one Monday from a pastor, and he called me, and he didn't even identify himself. I picked up on him. He was a friend of mine, pastor up in West Virginia, Brother Lee Bowman, and he didn't even identify himself. He said, "Brother, where were you at yesterday at so-and-so time?" Kind of caught me off guard. I didn't know exactly where he was going with this. And I got to thinking, well, I was at the market, Brother Bowman. He said, "Well, at that time, God impressed upon our hearts in the 11 o'clock service, the main service, to just stop and pray for you." And do you know, just a few days after that is when that bombing happened. There's no telling. Those guys could have been in the market when I was there. I don't know, but God knows, and I'm thankful for people that are sensitive to the Holy Spirit to pray for missionaries. Hey, and listen, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to Brinson Jennings too. May God help us to be sensitive in praying for missionaries' deliverance. Hey, listen, a prayer to be delivered. Listen, here I'm going to mention a few things to you. I'm just going to run through them because for the sake of time. But here's some things just for application's sake too that you can pray for your missionary. If you have a pen and paper, you can write these down. It's not only do we need to pray for missionaries to be delivered from wicked men, which we see in the context, but would you pray that missionaries would be delivered from wasting time? I'm just going to give you some practical things here. Just from what I experienced in being in France and Niger, some things I'm like, boy, these are some ways some people can pray for us. Pray that God would deliver us from wasted time. Listen, we don't have somebody hovering over us, looking at us while we're on the field all day. We don't have a card where we go in and slide on a clock, and then after our 8 hours are done, we slide out. It really doesn't work that way. And we have to be responsible and disciplined each day to plan our day, to plan our time, so we're good stewards of our time. But I'm telling you what, it's a challenge sometimes when in the conditions we see and the things we face, things come up so randomly out there on the field. But the bottom line is, it's no excuse for not planning and being a good steward. You can pray for your missionaries that we would not waste time, but to use it to the best, to the glory of God. And hey, sometimes I'd even consider having to tell some beggars to stop coming to the door. As much as I want to win them to Christ, we have things like that. Honestly, folks, sometimes I feel like an ATM machine. Call it African Union ATM. Hey, they just sometimes think that we just got it growing on our trees. And you can't hardly blame them. They come in, they know the white man has money, and they just think that we have millions of dollars. But pray that we don't waste time. Number three, pray that we'd be delivered from a weary body. It gets tiring out there where we are, and you know, and by the way, some of these things are in the context of a third world country, but they apply all across the board. In fact, they even apply here. Amen? We can pray these same things for right here. But a weary body, I'm telling you, sometimes, Brother Harper, I am not joking you. I got a digital thermometer, looks kind of like this, and it maxes out at 140, and it has maxed out so many times I lost count. 140. And that's the temperature outside. Inside, thank God, it's only 100. But that's a lot better than 140. You know? In fact, it's kind of funny. Inside our where our kitchen table is, we got our little thermometer there, whatever. And it'll a lot of times be 100 degrees, right, where we're sitting there eating. And sometimes when it drops down to 90 and 85, my wife and I, praise God, a cool front has come through this house. And it is something else. But boy, we get tired sometimes with that heat constantly through the day. But that's a way you can pray for your missionaries. Pray that they don't get, because when the bodies wear down, then sickness comes. Then we got to worry about malaria, because malaria loves fatigue. Boy, that's when it really gets a hold of you, when the body gets down and tired. So not only wicked men and wasted time and a weary body, but hey, number four, I'm going to just be straight up with you, church. Ask God to deliver us from a worldly attitude. Sometimes I'm sitting here and I'm going to tell you, I get so carnal. My water coming out is orange. I can't get my water clear. I can't get good eggs. The eggs are bad. I have to float test them in the water. Can't have me a good old egg sandwich tomorrow because they're all rotten. And you deal with things and, hey, I've caught myself getting real carnal. Like, I tell you what, this thing's for the birds. Honestly. I mean, I'm just being quite frank with you. And sometimes I've gotten caught and just like, man, what are we doing? You know, you deal with, like you said, the beggars coming, and you can real quick get a bad attitude. Hey, we got flesh just like everybody. Pray that God would help us have a good attitude. Even in the face of adversity and when things aren't going our way, as hot as it may be, God help us to have the fullness of the Holy Ghost to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Because if I got that, that's worth it all. Well, we need folks praying for us, that's for sure. But not only a worldly attitude, but fifthly, pray that God delivers from just making wrong choices. That'll be a great help to your missionary. We're making choices sometimes. We have to make them real quick. All of a sudden, like that thing, when that thing happened, that bombing, I had to make a decision. It was tough. I mean, here we are getting settled on the field, and I have to make a decision for my family. And you know, I get counsel, of course, Brother Stevens and Brother Hankey and our missions director, and they give us good counsel, but it really falls back to me making a decision for the family. Well, missionaries are facing that kind of thing all the time, that the devil's trying to confuse them and things are going on. And you know, we just got to make good decisions on the field, and it helps when God's people are praying those ways. So you see, those are just some things. I'm sure there are some more that I could share with you, but those are some things that you can do and I believe will be a help as we need to be delivered from those that kind of opposition and those sort of things. But number two, not only do we see a prayer to be delivered, but a second prayer request was a prayer to be accepted. Look what he says here after praying to that he might be delivered. He says, and pray that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Now, this is very interesting. This is the offering. This is the offering that's being taken to Jerusalem. For the poor saints in Jerusalem, those dear saints there that are in need. He's taking that and he's praying that it would be accepted. And it's interesting because here's the thing. To be accepted, you'd say, well, why in the world? That's one request. You don't have to pray in Niger for those people to accept money. You don't need to pray that. That's taken care of. But I'm here to tell you the reason he prayed is because there were Judaizers there that were teaching that anything that came from Gentiles was unclean. And he's just saying, pray that it would be accepted. But I want to tell you here, there's a lot of application for that. When we're on the field and you have the same thing when you're ministering here in the States, wherever God leads you, isn't it a desire of all of ours that the message that we're preaching and teaching to be accepted? And we're not supposed to compromise the Word of God in anything, but it's a natural desire. Of course I want people to hear my message and listen to it and take heed to it. And that's something I think you can pray that the message of God, number one, yes, simply the message would be accepted. I got these Muslims all around me, Brother Hankey. When I first got there, I'm thinking, oh my, is there even a chance for these people? Is there a chance that they can be saved? And of course, that's my flesh thinking. Of course they can be. God loves every one of them. And we've been doing our best to tell all our neighbors that. And we have gotten a good response. We haven't seen a whole lot of people saved. Personally, we've seen two saved. And we thank God for that. And that didn't happen right off. That took at least 6 months for those two. But thank God the Word of God is going forth. And that is a great prayer to make for the missionaries in any ministry, that the message would be accepted. You know, go back over to 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to make you turn there again. Now we're going to read that first verse again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll just read verse 1. Paul said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. You know what Paul's saying? pray that this message would have an effect and make a difference. Hey, pray that for your missionaries. Wherever they're at, pray, you know, and I think of Brother Harper and these evangelists. That's a wonderful prayer to pray for your evangelists. That wherever they're preaching, that the Word of God would have free course and make a difference wherever they're preaching it. But not only that our message would be accepted, but get this, and this is very important, especially where we're at, that our motive would be accepted. You say, Brother Brinson, what in the world are you talking about? Hey, listen, it's not uncommon, especially for that area of the world where I am, that those people to immediately think of us as CIA agents. Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, that guy's working for the U.S. government, especially that's what they get from the extremist groups. Oh, the white man, you watch him. He's spying. And you see, we want those people to know we're there because we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we love them because He loves them. And pray when you think of your missionaries and the people that they're ministering to, pray that these people will see the pure motive. We're not there to impress anybody. We're not there to get accolades. No, we're there to give them the truth of God. And we have seen people respond to that. And we thank God for that because that is our motive. So a prayer to be accepted, we see. And then lastly, his third prayer request was a prayer to be encouraged. Look what the Word of God says there. We can just go down to verse 32. I'm going to say pray for the context. Verse 32, pray that I may come unto you with joy. Catch it now. Joy by the will of God, and may with you be, again, there's an encouragement word, refreshed. Paul was praying, church, I need encouragement. And you all know, as you're sitting in this sanctuary tonight, we all need encouragement. And the work of God, I don't care if you're in Niger, if you're in Shelby, North Carolina, I don't care where you are, the children of God, we need encouragement. And God has blessed us with the blessed Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who helps us and comforts us, but always, and always does this too, if you're open, uses us to encourage one another. And we see that it was a prayer to be encouraged. He said, to come unto you with joy and to be refreshed. Hey, that's a wonderful prayer. Hey, that's a great prayer to make for your missionaries. And even for your loved ones, even for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, it applies across the board. But in the context, we're talking about missionaries. Pray that they'd be encouraged. There are days on the field. Hey, I can remember in France, I'm not even joking here. Hey, like the old guy said, I'm not just preaching, I'm telling the truth. But the idea is that when I was in France, there were times that I wanted to throw in the towel, Brother Bill. I said, I can't learn this language, Joanna. I just wanted to quit, you know. I go to the cashier and and I'm just fumbling all over myself, and they're looking at you like, you idiot. What are you doing here? Boy, you just want to hang your head and hang on back, but thank God you walk back to the house and just get on the computer or something, want to listen to a song, you pop up your email, and somebody just drop, you see an email right there from somebody back in the States saying, hey, just want you to know I'm praying for you. I could care less what that lady said. You get something like that. Encouragement. We need that. And your missionary that you support need that. Drop them an email saying, hey, listen, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. It only has to be one sentence. Or just three, praying for you. That's a blessing. Amen. That's what he's talking about. He wanted some encouragement. Let me just give you a few things here, and we're going to close and pray. All right, here we go. Some things, that just some practical ways that you can pray for encouragement. Number one, in the times of stress. Pray for encouragement in the times of stress on the field. Hey, dealing with nationals, there's a lot of communication differences there, cultural differences, misunderstandings. We had this one misunderstanding with a guy. Hey, God, only by God's grace it went well, God's intervention, because if it was up to my flesh, I would have put my foot down and said, no way, Jose. But there was a miscommunication. He thought I told him it was a guardian. He was helping guard while we were out of town, our home. He thought I was going to be paying him a whole lot more money than I said. And it was almost basically triple to what I said. And he was adamant about this. And, of course, I'm dealing with a Muslim here. And man, I struggled. We wrote down the numbers. I was explaining to him, no, this is what I told you. This is what I meant. It didn't matter how many times I wrote it. And he was sincere. He wasn't just trying to get over me. He's like, that's what he really believed I said, what he was asking for. But I just felt impressed by the Holy Spirit. Give it to him. And I did. And I want you to know, a few days later, he came back. He said, I never in my life thought a white man would do what you did. He said, I'm so sorry for the complications I caused. And he apologized. And he was just saying, you know, but thank you for helping me with that. Because I had actually made a promise to somebody that I'd help him because I thought I was going to be getting that. And thank you for being understanding. And hey, I want y'all to know, about 4 months later, he came to Christ. And he said, I want you to know, I didn't come to Christ just because of that, but he said, that really made an impression of me on this love of Christ that you're talking about. Hey, listen, we need God's help and encouragement in the times of stress. Dealing with nationals, dealing with that heat, like I said, boy, that heat just brings the carnality out. Pray that God would help us in the times of stress. And the language barrier. You're dealing with the language barrier all the time, man. You mess up. And people, honey, if we got to Africa, man, that's a totally different French. No, this is French, but it's, trust me, it's different. And it was tough, but we're getting used to it. That's something. Also, in the times of sickness, I'm going to move through these quickly. Pray for encouragement in the times of sickness. Both Joanne and I have had malaria once, and we don't ever want it again. It's the flu times 10, folks. I'm not kidding. It is rough. I'm talking high fever, 103, 104, chills, aches. Man, you just feel like you're going to die. And I'm telling you what, it's a wonderful thing to know that folks back in the States are praying for encouragement. And missionaries are dealing with that all the time. They're dealing with sickness, especially third world countries like the Lockharts and the Schrocks are going to and others that we support. In times of malaria, it's been tough. Infections, we get infections like we've never gotten before. We pick up parasites. It's just the nature of the beast. And we just need encouragement during those times, and it's a good way to pray. Also, in the times of sowing, you say, what? Yep, as we're giving the Word of God out, there's no responses. You know, there's no realness. You know, I had one guy, this just shows you what we're dealing with. We had one guy tell Brother David, my coworker, he says, I will believe you tell me if you can promise me a meal each day. And so we're dealing with sincerity, you know, trying to find realness in people. And sometimes when we get that response, we just need encouragement that, hey, God may just have us in a ministry of sowing at the time and not a ministry of reaping at that time. But hey, just to realize that the ministry of sowing is just as important as the ministry of reaping. Missionaries need that. There's someone that I'm telling you, there's some missionaries out there that are giving it all they've got. They're giving out, I know some missionaries in France, I got to hurry, that are giving out tracts every day. They're out witnessing. They sincerely, they're tactful. Hey, they're sharp. And man, on Sunday mornings, they may have 5 people in their service. Maybe a high day 15. And hey, they can get real discouraged because they're sowing the seed, but they're not seeing a whole lot of fruit. You can just pray that God just encourage them, that they're doing what you've called them to do. And then lastly, I'm not going to cover them all, but lastly, would you pray in the context of encouraging missionaries, pray for their separation in the sense of being separated from their loved ones. I'm not going to stand up here and try to be Mr. Spiritual to you all. We struggle during Christmas and Thanksgiving. It's not easy. I thank God He gives us grace, and we've had a good time with it. But you know what? It sure helps when God's people are praying. And we thank God for the churches that have been a blessing to us. We got one church every year that sends us a whole package of 31 Christmas cards, and one to open up each day. And just little things like that. And boy, those things are really encouraging. Just praying that God just help us. And even we meet with other believers and have friends. During those times, just pray birthdays and things, being away from grandparents. Especially for the kids, you know, I know that's tough. Y'all know this, especially some others. Hey, pray for the other side, too, the grandparents here in the town. in the States. Well, they need prayer too, being away from the grandkids. They don't miss us as much, I'm here to say. They miss the grandkids. But when the kids coming home, oh no, when are we coming home? You know, that's the thing. But pray that as they're separated, that God just give encouragement to keep, especially during holidays. That is especially helpful. Listen, Paul and this church, and a lot of his churches had a wonderful relationship. They grew together, and they partnered together in prayer. They loved each other. They were a team. And so are we, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a team. Let's encourage one another as we serve the Lord together. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are for your marvelous grace. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to grow in this area in our love. One for another, the missionary, the local church, that we might encourage one another, pray for one another. Oh God, may you get the glory. We thank you for what you'll do now in Christ's name. Amen.